Good evening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the Derby festivities yesterday, a time to enjoy with good friends. Also hope that you had the winner. If you did not, then you can join me in a few tears going into my mint julep from yesterday. Yesterday, besides being Derby Day, May 1st, the church celebrated the feast of St. Joseph the Worker. And as we continue to benefit from the graces of our prayers to St. Joseph during the year of St. Joseph, I commend everyone who made the consecration to St. Joseph yesterday, I did, and that your prayers and reflections have borne much fruit and much grace for you. And we will continually ask St. Joseph to help us experience, based on yesterday's feast day, St. Joseph the Worker, to help us experience the dignity and the sanctity of our work. Whatever we do, wherever we do it, day in and day out, that we excel at it. And as the Church, the model of St. Joseph, has brilliantly upheld the dignity of the worker. St. Clement of Alexandria wrote around the year 190, he was reminding the new converts that there was no need for them to quit their jobs to be good and faithful disciples of Christ. Tend to your farming if you're a farmer, but know God while you labor in the fields. Sail if navigation is your profession, but invoke always the celestial pilot. It's good for us to remember, especially as we marked yesterday the feast of St. Joseph the Worker, that our work, our labors, whatever they might be, wherever they occur, something very holy, something very noble about it. And we learned this from Jesus, who had learned it from his father, St. Joseph the Worker. So if you return tomorrow, or even still working from home, just remember that as you begin your day. As you start out, what you do, and what you do especially for others, is a very important and noble thing. Our Catholic Church and our faith helps us in a great way just to remind us of that. Given the imagery in the Gospel of St. John for the fifth Sunday of Easter, at least for myself, I thought, I probably have a few things that need to be pruned yet. I'd like to use images to capture the relationship that Christ has with us. Sometimes we speak of Christ as the head of the body, we are the body, the church. We are its members. Other times we describe ourselves as people who've heard the word of God and act on it. There are plenty of other images, and in St. John's Gospel, for this fifth Sunday, we come across another one of them, the vine, the branches, the vine dresser. Of course, no image perfectly captures the relationship between Christ and us, or between Christ and the one who sent him to us. But given the kind of creatures God has made us to be, and it's natural for us to think about God in this way, so it's worth reflecting on what the vine, the branch, image might mean. Its force comes from what branches need to achieve their end. And that end is bearing fruit. And to achieve it, branches depend upon the vines and vine dressers. Each of these, the vines and the vine dressers, contribute to the growth, the maturation of that fruit in different ways. The vine, we know, makes the branches live. The vine dressers pruning encourages their growth, and each part of the image points to some key truth about God and about us. It's pretty easy when Christ explains it to us. He is the vine, we are the branches, God is the vine dresser, the one who looks after the vine, and the fruit of the branches bear are the good works that Christians do. And essentially, what the image is telling us is that if Christ's disciples are to bear any fruit, they need to be dependent on Christ. And at times, as St. John indicated, to take away and to prune those things that keep us from that beautiful and intimate relationship with God and friendship with Christ. The first of these is easy. Most of us will readily accept that without Christ's help, we're not always going to bear a lot of fruit, at least not habitually and virtuously. Left to our own devices, we need Christ's and God's grace to be shaped and formed. By this talk of pruning by the Father is a little alarming, perhaps less clear than branch and vine and the vine dresser. I think it's best to understand it as the Father's sending of the Holy Spirit and the effect it has on us. Maybe a bit of context will help. In Christ's time, when Jesus was on earth in his public ministry, vines in Israel were pruned on two occasions. First, in February or March, that's when the dead wood was cut away. If you remember that image was used, we heard it in the Passion on Palm Sunday, we heard it in the Passion on Good Friday, the dead wood. Secondly, in August, when shoots were too small to bear fruit, they were dealt with. We can stretch the image further and identify two moments in our immersion in the Holy Spirit. First, when we turn away from God. And then second, when we act with virtue, allowing Christ's influence, God's grace, to help us. And when this happens, it can bring about a dramatic change. At least for me, a perfect example of this is St. Paul. It was mentioned in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. We know his story well. Right before the portion that we heard this evening, his reputation had not gone away. We heard that. The apostles, the disciples, those who were following Christ did not want to meet up with him because they were afraid. He was still understood as a fierce and feared persecutor of Christians. That reputation had not gone away. He even held the coats of those who stoned St. Stephen, the first martyr. He was even going to persecute more Christians in Damascus when he had that very familiar conversion experience. Indeed, so fearsome was then Saul's reputation, as we heard when he came to Jerusalem in this portion of the Acts of the Apostles, the disciples were afraid. They were afraid to meet him. Yet despite all of this, St. Paul went on to do many, many deeds for God and for his church. He did bear much fruit. It's unlikely that any of us will have as big a role in spreading Christ's gospel as St. Paul did, or some of the other giants in our church. And that's why the portion that's right before what we heard tonight always stays with me, because I think we're going to be more like this character called, named, and Ananias. He was told in a message from an angel, which always makes me think, be careful when angels deliver messages to you. Something is about to happen. And Ananias, as at that time Saul was on his way to Damascus, was told by this angel, go and meet him there. Plead with him to stop the persecutions and to turn to Christ, to be one of his disciples. And the scriptures describe Ananias as shaking in his boots, aware of what then Saul might do to him. Nevertheless, as St. John would say to us this evening, rely on Christ. Put your trust in God. So what did Ananias do? He got up and he went. Probably a bit anxious, but he went. And we know the rest of the story. The point for me there is that, as we've heard over the Easter season, thousands joined and became disciples of Christ. But Ananias was given only one. Only Saul who would become St. Paul, to bring to Christ, turn his life around, and to help him to be faithful, courageous disciple to so many. But Ananias was only given one to be responsible for. So for you and for me, there might not be the thousands who join, but there might be one. So this week, listen, I guess proverbially, to the voice of that angel. Who might need you? Who might need you to go to them and to say, stop doing those destructive things, whatever they might be. Stop doing that to yourself. Stop doing that to others. And come. Follow the one who can bring you that new life that leads to freedom, that leads to great joy. So yesterday, as we made our prayers to St. Joseph, let's make our prayers tonight. Maybe ask Ananias, help us. Help us to respond to the one who needs us.